You can be seated. I got a text from my daughter who lives in South Carolina wishing us a happy Resurrection Day, and she sent this inspirational message. This is John and Peter talking to one another, and John says, "I won." And Peter said, "Who's ever gonna even know?" And John whispers, "Everyone will know." And the verse is, "So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first." So everybody knows who won. I am excited this morning about the opportunity to share with you a message that had me pacing yesterday. I was so excited I could barely compose myself or compose it. And it's really not about anything new. But that's not what's important. What had me pacing was not that it was something new, but that it was true. And that the truth of it began to dawn on me in a different kind of a way. And it excited me to think that this thing that we're doing here this morning, this singing and celebration and praying and all of what's going on here this morning is rooted in something very real and very true. So I have titled this morning's message, "How Do I Spell Resurrection? W-O-W." Wow. Wow. Because that was the sentiment of my heart as I reflected on this day and on the significance of this day. And I don't have a lot to share with you, but sometimes a little the Lord multiplies, you know, and that's how it works. So I'm trying to make sure that He multiplies me to my limit and that I don't start with so much that He multiplies it beyond my limit. So we're looking at Acts chapter 13, and we're looking at verses 26 through 31. As we look at this subject of how do I spell resurrection, W-O-W, wow. Acts 13, 26 through 31. Amen. Okay, so this is Paul speaking, and he's giving a synopsis of what this day is all about. He said, "Brothers, children of Abraham, and you, God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus. Yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now His witnesses to our people." Amen. Paul would later write in 1 Corinthians 15, 20, "Now is Christ risen from the dead." And when I see the word "now," it makes me think of wow. Now means wow. It means that present tense, right now, as we sit here, Christ is alive. It's not a dead worshipped idol or a figure of religion or some kind of an icon of theology. Right now, Christ is risen from the dead. And I looked up the word wow. Is there a definition for wow? And yes, there is. As an exclamation, it means expressing astonishment or admiration. As a noun, it means a sensational success. As a verb, it means to impress and excite greatly. And if that does not spell resurrection, I don't know what does. I think wow fits just fine. I had such a great time again putting this together, and I so appreciate the Lord's inspiration in helping me with the title and with the content. And it came to me early Saturday morning as I was lying in bed about to celebrate my wife's birthday, which was also a celebration. That's right. That's right. But I'm going to just go through some of the wow points. It says in verse 27, the people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus. And I think that's so sad, because it's true today. There are so many people who do not recognize Jesus. They do not know what he's offering. They've been bamboozled. They've been deceived. They've been led astray by this massive misinformation, disinformation campaign launched by the evil one to deceive and lead the whole world astray and lead the whole world away from who Jesus really is. I feel very much in my heart that if people really knew who Jesus was, who could resist him? Who could resist him? They didn't recognize Jesus. It says in verse 27, in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. They tried to get rid of him, but wound up fulfilling the words of the prophets. No one can thwart God's purposes. God has a long history of thwarting the thwarters. Joseph's brothers were thwarters who threw him into a pit only to see him become a world leader. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a fiery furnace only to come out unscathed, unsmoked. Yes. And on to a royal promotion. I don't know about you, but I've had people trying to undermine my success. But see, their mistake was that they thought I was defining success the way that they were defining it. I didn't need what they thought I needed in order to be the success that God had in mind. And you see, so their plans were to get rid of Jesus, it says in verse 29. His enemies actually carried out, it says, all that was written about him. Jesus didn't need what they thought he was after, even though he told them up front, I'm not after your stuff. I don't want your power. My kingdom is not of this world. I'm not measuring success the way that you're defining it. But they didn't listen. See, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished. But he knew that it was far from over. Even though it is finished, it is far from over. This is just the beginning. In verse 30, it says, but God raised him from the dead. Now, see, what we need to understand about the resurrection is that raising Jesus from the dead was more than an amazing stunt. It was more than a gimmick. It was more than a display of God's power. It was more than an in your face from God to all of Jesus' doubters. You see, the period between Jesus' death on Friday and Sunday morning was a crisis point for all of mankind and for all of creation. It was like the biggest play of the game in sports, the one that has you on the edge of your seat. Victory or defeat is on the line. Or the moment in the movie when love is either lost or gained. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 that if Jesus had not risen from the dead, our faith is futile. We're still in our sins. Creation's longings for rebirth as it says in Romans, would have died in the womb. And had all of creation had tongues, when Jesus rose from the dead, the cheers would have been deafening. That's how critical it was. And that's just another way of saying, wow. Now, here are just a few other things that are attached to the resurrection that make us go, wow. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. I have to tell you, this is kind of crazy. Don't think I'm crazy, but Brother Darren and I were in the restroom, and we were at the sink washing our hands, and I said to him, you know, there's something really nice and refreshing and special about a urinal that flushes well. A power flush. Not a trickle. You know, you pull. Now, you ladies, you have to just kind of work with us on this. We know what we're talking about, right, guys? Right. You pull the urinal and nothing happens. A little trickle. Nothing. Might as well not have pulled it. But when you pull that handle and whoosh, and you look and it's all gone. No evidence that you were even there. The next person walking in doesn't know you did it. You see, that is, there's something spiritual about that. Amen. There's something spiritual about that. Whoosh. And it's gone. The resurrection was a power flush. You will never look at urinals the same again. You will pull it and say, thank you, Jesus. See, Good Friday. Now, let me reel y'all back in. Good Friday tells us a payment was paid for our sins. That's what Good Friday is all about. A payment was made for our sins. Resurrection Sunday tells us God accepted it. It's not terribly unlike, although it's a very inadequate example. Jesus' death was his inserting his credit card to pay for our sins. And the resurrection was the message that reads on the card reader, approved. And you know how good that feels when you stick your card in. You know you got the money, but you know something might happen. And then they're looking at you sideways saying, and they don't buy your excuse that, you know, something must be wrong with this card. Let me get another one. There's something satisfying about approve. Well, Jesus, that's what happened on the cross when he made the payment and the resurrection. It says that he was declared with power to be the Son of God through the resurrection. And it, as the choir was singing, that the resurrection proved we were justified. It was God accepting the payment. It was God saying, I approve of this transaction. We are approved. That's what the resurrection is. Not just a gimmick, not just a show of God's power, but it was effectual. It accomplished something. And that's why the words of the hymn, Blessed Assurance, are so appropriate. We can sing with confidence, I'm an heir of salvation. I am a purchase of God. That is what the resurrection did. It purchased me. For Christ. It showed that the purchase was approved by God Almighty. I like what Watchman Nee said. He said, our old history ends with the cross. Our new history begins with the resurrection. All we can say, all I can say is, wow. I don't know about you, but it had me pacing, thinking about this. I'm approved. Joy is another wow that's connected with the resurrection. Joy, unbridled, unmitigated, uncontaminated, pure, high octane joy associated with the resurrection, because nothing can contaminate that event. It's done. It's happened. It's over. Because of the resurrection, joy is the birthright of every believer. We remember the song from our childhood, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And if Jesus is the center of our joy, as we like to sing sometimes, if Jesus is the center of our joy, the resurrection is its anchor. Our faith in Jesus is moored in the harbor, in the immovable harbor of the resurrection. Secured to that truth, our vessel, our life, is protected in the fiercest of storms. When the currents of adversity accelerate, and they will, and they do, and they might as soon as you leave this room this morning. When the currents of adversity accelerate, it's the resurrection that keeps us centered in joy, anchored in joy. As Mother Teresa once said, never let anything so fill you with sorrow as to make you forget the joy of the Christ risen. Amen. Truer words were never spoken, you see. That's uncontaminatable. The resurrection, it means so much more. Faith is another wow. The relationship of faith to the resurrection. Now, I want you to listen to this. I had to write this out so I wouldn't ramble and I wouldn't fumble. But I want you to hear this. Faith is not an emotional experience. Faith is not an emotional experience. The higher my emotion, it doesn't mean the greater is my faith. The lower is my emotion, it doesn't mean the weaker is my faith. Faith is not an emotional experience. It can lead us to an emotional experience. As David wrote, in your presence is fullness of joy. And that was all about his faith. But the emotional experience itself is not faith. Faith is an assurance and a conviction about what is unseen. It's accepting as a matter of fact that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Faith is not more valid because it is accompanied by emotion, and it's not less valid if there is no emotion. When I switch on a light, my emotional state is irrelevant. Doesn't matter how I feel. When I switch on the light, if I have enough faith to flick the switch, the light will come on. Doesn't matter how I feel. When I look to the Lord in prayer, my emotional state is also irrelevant to the effect. God always cares about how I feel. But he responds to my faith regardless of my feelings. I don't have to manufacture a certain level of emotion for my prayers to be heard or to be received or to be answered. And though faith is intangible, it's not factless. The facts of our faith are rooted in the historical record of the resurrection of Christ. He lives, no matter how I feel. Bad day, he still lives. Good day, he still lives. Money in my pockets, he still lives. No money in my pockets, he still lives. When I'm healthy, he still lives. When I'm sick, he still lives. He is there, whether I feel like he's there or not. And the resurrection tells me that now is Christ risen from the dead. And now means wow. The mystery of his presence is another wow. The mystery of the risen Christ is that he's not just helping us live our lives. That's what we think sometimes. Lord, help me live my life. Amen. Help me get this thing right. Help me get through this. Help me to have this. Help me to do this, whatever it is. Sometimes we think that that's what he's just all about, is helping us live our lives. The truth is, he is also living his life. God's got a life. He's not waiting around for us to live. He's got a life. Just like you got a life, he's got a life. He's up to stuff. He's doing things. He's at work. And he's in you. And he's in me. So the mystery of his presence is another wow. And because he's living his life in us, that's why we find ourselves in unexpected places spiritually. Because he takes us there. The vividness of truth that we experience at times that we didn't create is him living his life in us. Understanding that we didn't develop is him living his life. Perspective that we didn't give ourselves, that's him living his life. Energy that we did not generate, that's him living his life. Perseverance that we don't know where it came from, that's him living his life in us. And that's a wow. It's a mystery. It's the thing that makes us fascinated. We were talking about this in Sunday school last Sunday, about the word fascination and how it applies so much to our walk with the Lord. And the fascination is connected to the mystery of his presence in us. We don't know what he's going to do on a given. We got somebody living inside of us and we don't know what he might do next. We know he loves us. I look at where I am today. I look at where I am today. I look at my life today. I say, how did I get here? I didn't have a map. I didn't sit down and chart it all out. But I'm here. And I'm talking about where I am in my relationship with him. I'm not talking about circumstances. I'm talking about who he is to me. I'm talking about how valuable, how special he is to me. I didn't do that. So all I said was, yes. And then he came and lived inside of me. And through the mystery of his life, he began to rearrange, change stuff. I don't like the way this looks. I'm going to move that around a little bit. I don't like how this feels. Time to get rid of this. We need some new furniture in here. I'm going to open this window. You know, and he began to make all these changes. Because he is living his life in us. Because he lives. Because of the resurrection. That he didn't just raise from the dead or rise from the dead and then evaporate. I go to prepare a place for you. And it is to your advantage that I go. Because if I do not go, I will not send the Holy Spirit. But he will be with you and he will be in you. And the scripture describes the mystery of Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit, that there's overlap. One place it says the Holy Spirit in you. And then Paul says, do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you? You say, what in the world? Is it Jesus or is it the Spirit? Yes, it is. Is it Jesus, the Spirit, or the Father? Yes, because we're all one and we're all up inside of you. And you don't have to split hairs about it. Just know that it's us. And just know that it's me. But there is such a mystery in the resurrection. I get so excited about it. This is why I say, I don't know what's to become of me. I literally don't know what's to become of me because I'm not the only one alive. It's not just my life. Even if it was just my life, I really wouldn't know because, you know, you can't always make stuff happen. You can't always know the future. You can't always make your plans or your dreams come true. So I don't know where my life is going at times. With my best intentions. Now you add to it the mystery of the Almighty living God, living his life in you. That's a wow. Is this wow or not? It's wow. When you sit down and you start thinking about the ramification, the implications, when you start thinking about the reverberations, and you start thinking about the ripples of all of this, it'll blow your mind. Verse 31 says, and for many days he was seen. See, where there's smoke, you know, as the Apostle Paul wrote, if all of this stuff about Jesus is just one colossal hoax, we are most to be pitied. But all things considered, the external evidence as well as our personal experience, there's way too much smoke around the resurrection of Christ for there to be no fire. I'm going to wind down with this story, and it's true. The little guy's got a story, and now you get one. There was once a famous and highly respected man, and I was one of the people who highly respected him, an intellectual who believed that the story of Jesus is a fine myth. And it's not that he didn't believe Jesus exists, but he believed a lot about Jesus was just mythical. That Jesus, he believed Jesus taught noble things, that Jesus lived a noble life, and then died a terrible, unjust death. To this man, church was a means to pay homage to the memory of Jesus and to affirm the ideals that Jesus represented. To this man, Jesus and all other major religious leaders were all interchangeable figures, all in the same category, enlightened men, but in the end, only men. But there's much more to the story of Jesus than a little baby who grew into a holy man and was eventually executed. Because what separates Jesus from other spiritual leaders rests squarely on who he claimed to be. The Savior of the world, not one of many saviors, the Savior. He claimed to be the one and only begotten Son of the living God. He claimed to be the one who, by faith in his name, offers eternal life to all who believe. And as proof of his astonishing assertions, he offered his resurrection from the dead. This is what will separate me. This is why you should listen to me above everybody else. This is why you shouldn't just be swayed by my words. You know, because there are a lot of fine rapping preachers that have come before me. And there will be a lot of fine rapping preachers after me. So I'm not staking my claim. I'm not asking you to believe because I got a good word to share with you. That's not where he was coming from. His enemies challenged him on that. Why should we listen to you? Who gave you this authority? How do we know you are who you say you are? Ha. I got something for you, he said. Destroy this temple, and I will raise it in 3 days. And they did one big look at the temple thinking he was talking about this building. And the scripture says, no. By that, he was referring to the temple of his body. Yes. Destroy me, and in 3 days, I will come back to life. And that will be my proof. That is my claim to who I say I am. He claimed to be the one and only begotten Son of God. And he offered his resurrection from the dead as proof. And that's the Jesus difference. With all due respect to Christmas, Christianity doesn't rise or fall on when Jesus was born. But on whether or not he rose from the dead. It doesn't rise or fall on his moral teachings, but on his resurrection. See, and Jesus didn't, like this guy that I was telling you about, this intellectual, Jesus didn't leave us the option to only consider him a strong religious leader or a good man. He didn't leave us that option because he claimed himself to be so much more than that. And so we're forced in our consideration of Jesus. We are forced to either believe he is who he claimed to be, or to conclude that he was at worst a liar, and at best a deluded egomaniac. But a good, solid, great moral teacher, that's really not in the mix when we consider what he said about himself. Anybody who claims the things about himself that Jesus claimed about himself, if somebody walked in here today and said the things about themselves that Jesus said, and they weren't true, we'd write that person off in a heartbeat. Start looking around to see if they're carrying something or, you know, they're crazy. But we know the truth about him, don't we? We know the truth about him. We are wowed by him because he has revealed the truth of himself to each of us. He has revealed the truth of who he is to each one of us. And as I've said many times before, that's the only way we'll know, is if he reveals it, because we can't figure it out on our own. He has to open our eyes and open our hearts and open our spirits to be able to understand the truth of who he is. So we are wowed by him because he has shown himself to be the true and living God. And if he hasn't shown himself to you that way, because I don't know everybody here this morning, if he hasn't shown himself to you that way, if what you heard me say over the past few minutes sounds just like religious talk, you've heard it before, it's not connecting, if it feels like there's a disconnect, and you're looking at this guy up on the stage, and he's all excited about Jesus, and I don't know what he's talking about. If that's you, why don't you just ask him? Because if what I'm saying is true, this is not about subscribing to a body of theology. This is not about joining a church. This is not about any of that. This is personal. This is a personal invitation to you. Just as if I walked up to Brian and introduced myself to him and told him who I was, and Brian simply said, okay, if what you're saying is true, show me. If what you're saying is true, I want that. If that's really true, and that's not something that somebody made up, and that's not somebody trying to trick me. You see, once again, the resurrection is everything. The wow of the resurrection is that if it's true, Jesus is alive. And he is attentive. He was attentive to me when I cried out. He was attentive to me when I cried out one day. And I said, I'm praying to the only God there is. If you see me and hear me, and there was nobody on the street, there was no altar call. There was nothing but the streets and no people around. There was no preacher and no choir. I was walking down the street, Grand River Avenue in Lansing, Michigan. It wasn't even on a Sunday, about 9:30 at night. And I'm walking along and I said, Lord, if you are out there, I want you to show me the truth. I want you to reveal yourself to me. I want Jesus. I want the living God. And you know what? He showed up. Not in person, but in the person of someone. Showed up. Where did he come from? Somebody just came out of the blue and shared Christ with me. 3 minutes. It was no more than 3 minutes after I prayed that. And my life has never been the same since. And it's not because I made it better. It's because of who introduced himself to me. He is the living Savior. That's what Easter is all about. Easter is about the fact that he rose from the dead, that he's alive today. So if Easter means anything, it means you can say, I want you. And I'm standing here speaking to you from the heart that was my experience. I am here today because I said, I want you. I didn't want church. I was not signing on for church. I love church now. I'm here every Sunday. But that's not where I was when I cried out. I didn't make any promises. I'll be a preacher for you if you save me. That's okay if that's what it takes. But that's not where I was. My heart was, Lord, I want something more than what I've got. And I've got a lot, but it ain't enough. I want something more. And I believe you're the only one who's got it. Doesn't matter what words you use. See, it's directed to him. Again, this is not a theology. This is not a formula. This is not a magic trick. It's not a potion you're making. If he is the risen one, which the scripture teaches, if he is the living one, which the scripture teaches, if he is alive today, he can hear you. Amen? You can test it. Don't take my word for it. If he's alive, talk to him. Say, if you're there, Lord. And it's okay to say if. You don't believe, if is okay. You don't have to have faith if you don't have faith. All you have to say is if you're there. And if what that preacher up there said on, what is today? 21st is true, I want that. I want you. And all I can say is from my personal experience, I didn't have a well thought out theology when I came to Christ. All I knew is that I wanted something more than what I had experienced. And I knew God had it. And I said, I am praying to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I learned that from Sunday school. That's all I knew. I didn't know the gospel. I didn't know the Romans road. I didn't know any of that. All I knew was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm praying to you. Nobody else answer, I said. Those were my words. Those were my words. And it was after that that someone said, hey, Frenchie, which was my nickname when I was back in college. Hey, Frenchie. And it was this Christian who had come to my room 4 years earlier and talked to me about God. Just showed up right there 4 years later. Wow. 4 years later, there he was. And he walks up to me, starts talking to me. And I'm listening, but his words are having a different thing is happening. It ain't just words. There's something going on coming out of his mouth and touching my heart. And I had a big mouth and a lot of argument. And I was, and all of my arguments went away. And it was as though God himself, and later on, now that my theology has been somewhat refined, I know what was happening. It was the Holy Spirit saying, that's true. That's true. Shut your mouth. Listen, that's true. That's true. Get out of your head. Listen here. This is true. He did it for me. Wasn't no slick talking that did it. It was no big crisis or slick talking. It was the living God who showed up in response to me saying, if you're out there, I want you. I don't know what to do. I'm praying to the only God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want you to show me the truth. And my life has never been the same since. And that's how it happened. And that's my story. As kids, we used to say, I jumped on the wire and the wire bent, and that's the way my story went. And that's all I got to say. If you're in that spot, don't take my word for it. You don't have to take my word for it. You're sitting there thinking, oh, that's just a preacher. You don't have to take my word for it. That's the beauty of the living one. You don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to be talked into it by anybody. You talk to him about it and you see what happens. You approach him. You say, Lord, I don't know whether what Pastor Dan was talking about on Easter Sunday, I don't know what to believe about that. I'm not sure. Or I've tested the waters a little bit before over here with religion, and I didn't like the flavor of that. I read stuff in the newspaper about Christians, and I don't like what I'm reading. It's okay, because it's not about what Christians are doing. It's not about that, because again, the wow is that he's alive. The premise of this whole thing is that he's alive. And if he's alive, you can talk to him. And I'm done.